Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Donnell, for today, Sunday, May 12th. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. I'm glad you all tuned into the show tonight. And tonight we are speaking with Naja of Nail Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, Naja.
Thank you so much for having me. I love your show opening. It's very relaxing.
Thank you so much.
It makes me want to just like sit back near the pool with some wine. It's very relaxing. It's a good opening.
Thank you very much.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Oh, thank you. I just want to remind all of the listeners out there, if you have questions or comments, you can call 914-803-4399. Again, the number is 914-803-4399. Now I'm going to turn the show over to my sister Denise, and she has a little bit of beauty news for us. No, we can't hear you. Hold on one second. Let me see. Okay, try it again.
Good evening, everyone. Can you all hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Good evening and welcome to the Beauty Lounge, which is our wonderful chat room. Just want to give everyone a quick breakdown of a couple of beauty expos coming up in the next couple of months. And I wanted to quickly start with one that I normally mention pretty much every year, and I really actually haven't mentioned it this year at all, but it's coming up on May 22nd through the 26th. It's FABAIC, which is the Face and Body Art International Convention, basically put on by Silly Farm, which is down in the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area. And they are a company that pretty much they sell all of the face and body art supplies, you know, all of the makeup, brushes, you know, stencils, airbrush makeup, things like that. But they put on a really nice convention every year during the Memorial Day weekend. And so I just wanted to make sure I brought that up. It's the Face and Body Art International Convention. Again, it's May 22nd through the 26th. So I'm sorry, I thought I had some more information on it. But, again, it's May 22nd through the 26th, and, again, it's for FABAIC. And you can go to sillyfarm.com to get the information on that show. Also, we have IMATS London coming up June 22nd and 23rd. And, of course, for any IMATS, you can get information on all the IMATS shows at imats.net. And then we have Fame Expo coming up in Pasadena, California, which is June 29th and June 30th. And, again, Beauty Talk will be broadcasting live on that Saturday and that Sunday. Both days will be broadcasting live. We'll bring those shows to you. Again, that's June 29th and 30th, Pasadena, California, at the Pasadena Convention Center, normally the same place where IMATS is normally held in Pasadena. It's going to be at the same location. So for those of you who are familiar with IMATS and who are used to going to IMATS in June, you can now just go to the Fame Expo. And, of course, at Fame Expo, we'll have more than just makeup. There'll be hair, photography, you name it, nails, just more aspects of the beauty industry at the Fame Expo. And then we had the Makeup Show Chicago, and I lost my dates somewhere for that one. And trying to find that now, but I will get back with you on the dates for the Makeup Show. And, of course, if you need information, more information on the Makeup Show Chicago, you can go to themakeupshow.com. And Cosmo Pro from North America in Las Vegas will be coming up July 14th through the 16th. And for more information on that, you can go to CosmoProfromNorthAmerica.com. And if anyone had a chance to catch Marietta Carter's lipstick lecture yesterday, call in or log on into the chat room and let us know what you thought about that. That was one of Marietta's free classes, her lipstick lectures. And also, if you register to take her paid class, workshops by Marietta, which I think this for the month of May, she's discussing minding your makeup business. And I know the first 2 days of that class was Saturday, yesterday, and today. And then the next half of that class, which will be next Saturday and next Sunday. So if you're registered to take Minding Your Makeup Business, give us a call and let us know what you thought about the first 2 days. And if you were able to catch the lipstick lectures, which I did not, I'm normally on top of that, but I missed it this time around. If you were able to catch that, give us a call or log into the chat room and let us know what you thought about that. And you can also log on to our Beauty Talk Online radio page on Facebook, and you can chat away in there and with all your questions and anything you want to discuss in there, same as with the chat room. If you're not able to log on into the chat room, you can definitely join us on Facebook or Twitter, which is Illusions Beauty.
All right. Thank you very much for that information. Again, welcome to the show, Naja. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
We're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We want to just go ahead and jump into the show because I know that you have a show that's coming on actually right after this one.
Yeah, every Sunday at 7 p.m. I do the Nail Talk Radio.
Absolutely, and I enjoy your shows. I've had a chance to listen to a few. I don't want to hold you too long, so we want to just jump right in. Let's start off by telling our listening audience how long you've been a manicurist and how did you get your start?
I've been a manicurist for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of like an L.A. dream story. I grew up in New Jersey. I went to culinary school after high school, so I was a chef. And I also went to Catholic school my whole life, so I was always trapped in a uniform, you know, the Catholic school uniform. Then I went to culinary school, then I was a chef. So
didn't
I was about
know.
Like 26. I was about 26, and I was tired of that, and I was like, you know what, I really just want to explore the feminine side of myself. You know, my dad raised me. I worked in a kitchen with all guys, and I said, I'm going to move to L.A. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to get a new career, and the only stipulation was that I could wear my own clothes. So that's kind of, you know, I got to L.A., and I thought maybe I would do makeup, but I was really, like, you know, an East Coast B girl that never really wore makeup. I hung with all the dudes, so I had no idea. I tried to put eyeliner on my friend. He's blinking. I almost pulled my eyeball out with the mascara, so I was like, maybe makeup's not for me. And I got a job at a day spa as a receptionist, and I kind of fell in love with the whole spa industry. I thought it was like the modern-day hospital, and then I was like, okay, you know, what's next? You know, it was like 2 years of booking other people's clients, and I was like, what should I do? Should I be an esthetician? And I was like, I didn't want to wax anyone's anything or pop any zits. but I loved educating people about skincare. You know, I sold all the products at the front. And the massage therapy in California is too much of a, you know, I feel like bureaucracy and political madness where you don't just get licensed for doing massage in all of California. Like in California, you can get a license to do skin. You can get a license to do hair and nails, and you can work anywhere in California. But as far as massage therapy, it's not a statewide thing. So it's, you know, and in L.A., it's like every couple miles you drive, it's a new town. Now this is Manhattan Beach. This is Redondo. This is West Hollywood. And nothing really had the, you know, covered the whole state. So I said, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll go to manicuring school. I worked on the beach. There was a beautiful manicure table like that was available Sunday and Monday. And that's what I did. And I would have never thought that it would have grown to, you know, my career now, like not in a million years.
Oh, wow. Wow. So once you started as a manicurist, how did you get into working in entertainment?
Well, you know, I work in Hollywood, and you work in Los Angeles, and it's a very, even though it looks like a very large place, it's very, very small. So basically, you know, I worked at a really high-end nail salon, and we did a lot of the gifting suites where, you know, celebrities would be coming through to get things and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of got known a little bit in that arena. And then, you know, the person that waxes my eyebrows also was waxing Mary J. Blige's eyebrows, which I didn't know. You know, she just called me and said, hey, how much do you charge for a home visit? And she said, you'll never guess who it is. And I was like, oh, you know, who? I don't really care, you know. And then she said, Mary J. Blige. And I remember I screamed. I slammed on my brakes. I was like, ah! That's like my childhood idol. So basically working with her, then I got to know Kim Kimble, her hairstylist, and her makeup artist, and they referred me to other people. And then, you know, you get to know the manager, and then the manager has four or five clients. And so it's really kind of happened like that, you know, word of mouth and just networking and knowing people.
Cool.
I never really set out to do that. It kind of just kind of, you know, happened.
It kind of happened.
Yeah. But, I mean, it happened not in a way of me just, you know, hanging out. I owned a nail salon, you know, I after 4 years of working in a salon, then I owned one, and that salon became very, very popular and, you know, the go-to place for minx nails, really popular fad, you know, for about 4 or 5 years. So celebrities were flying in, you know, Missy Elliott used to, every time she would come in from New York, she would come in, and Jennifer Love Hewitt and Alicia Keys. So a lot of people came there for that, and then, you know, kind of getting to know them there as well. But mostly it was, you know, on set and the referral stuff.
So let me ask you, you said that you own the salon, so do you still own the salon?
No, I actually had the salon for about 4 years, and it always seems like in L.A. there's, you know, hot spots. Like, this is the hot club, this is the hot restaurant, this is the hot place to go, and you have like a 2 or 4 year window a majority of the times. So because I was getting way more busy on set, and I, you know, I got an agent for myself, and they were getting me way more jobs on set and location, and it seemed to be more lucrative and less headache. You know, I'm not dealing with a bunch of employees and that kind of stuff. So I sold it about a year ago.
Okay.
And I miss it sometimes, but it's a lot of work for anyone who's ever owned a salon. It's, you know, it's way more than just doing the services. You have a lot of, the light bulb goes out, you have to do something. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, it reminds me of our conversation last week, as you heard with Kim, I'm not Kim, I'm sorry, with Bernadette Thompson, speaking about, you know, once things started happening with her, she told her mother, we're selling the salon, you know, so it's just like, okay, you can make more money here and have less headache.
Well, yeah, I did, and I remember that quote specifically where she said I think she only had the salon for like 6 months. She said the first check she got for like, whatever it was, $2,500, she said, close the salon. And I, for 4 years, kind of, you know, went back and forth because I was like, I've never really not had a salon. I feel nervous not to have a place. Because, you know, you're meeting people on the streets all the time, and they're like, oh, I love your nails. Where do you, you know, where can I get them? And I can either send them to myself at the salon or to other people. I have such a hustler mentality that it's hard for me to be like, oh, I do them by myself, and, like, that's the end of the conversation. Or here's my card in case you want to do a party at your house kind of thing. So it's like, it was hard for me to let that go, to be like, you like my nails, here's the card. You can go see any of my people or myself at the salon.
Right. Right.
So there's a little itch in me that still wants to have a little space, and we'll see. Maybe down the road I'll partner with someone and we'll do something.
Yeah, because I'm hearing about a lot of, you know, celebrity stylists now on the East Coast at least opening up, you know, nail salons and hair salons, and yet, you know, they have, they're very busy with, you know, with this, the celebs that they work with, but yet now they're, so I'm just wondering if some people are looking for something that seems stable, or if it was just something that they always wanted to do, and now, you know, they're taking the time to do it, because, you know, because stylists always have the issue, you know, when you work on various sets and on location, but then you have a celeb clientele that you have to always leave your salon and go to. It's always a struggle with balancing it all.
It's definitely very, very tricky business, yes.
Yeah. So I just wonder, so when you were working, actually working in a salon, and also once you got to the point where you had your own salon, was it a struggle? Oftentimes, I know it's less headache not having the salon, but was it a struggle being in the salon and then managing your work with your celeb clients?
It was a nightmare. I made a commitment, you know, when I actually got Mary J. Blige as a client and my salon the very same week. So when I was an employee at a salon, I didn't have to do any of the changing in the schedule and all that. So it was very good that now I was the boss so that I don't have to hear anyone, you know, I'm not coming in today, I have to go drop everything to do. You know, I just in a very short time, word got around. So I was doing Mary J. Blige and Lady Gaga when she first came out, and Fergie and Mariah Carey. So you never know when they're going to call or what's going to go on. So a lot of my clients, because they have been with me for a while, they kind of thought, they really kind of were on the journey with me and kind of really enjoyed it because they saw me working at the salon. Then I owned it, you know, I took it over and owned it, and now I'm, you know, doing these celebrities. So they kind of enjoyed it, but, you know, I lost most of my clients in the end because I had to pass them off to my assistants and other people that were in the salon in a more consistent basis.
Right.
But I do know a couple of the East Coast girls that just recently opened salons, and it is, you know, for that reason, for the stability reason. You know, when we would do events together with them, they'd be like, yeah, but, you know, you're at, you know, back in L.A., you're making money right now. Like, your salon is making money, and, you know, it's just more stable because the celebrity work and advertisement work and all that is very unstable. Sometimes, you know, you work a lot, and then sometimes you have off for 3 weeks, and, you know, idle mind gets you into trouble. If you have off that long, you start to feel crazy.
Right. Right.
So I constantly keep myself busy, you know, with Nail Talk Radio and other projects so that I still, even if I'm not going to set, you know, people be like, oh, let's go to the beach at 1. I was like, no, I'm sorry. I have to do paperwork, like, at a regular, like, I have to make myself have a regular job from, like, 11 to 7 or 8 or whatever it is. I have to get this amount of, you know, emails and all that stuff to make stuff happen. That's the trade-off I think people don't know, is that if you don't want a stable job where someone is giving you a paycheck at the end and you want to do this freelance and be your own boss, it is wonderful, but you really have to be on yourself because it's very easy to be like, oh, yeah, let's go to the beach. And, you know, but it's like you still have to set hours and make yourself get there because you have to make your check come at the end of the week or the end of the month. And that's usually by making connections, making calls, you know, teaching classes, getting clients, whatever it is you want to do.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. That's a good point. I'm glad you really mentioned that. And you said, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish that thought. You can come back to me.
No, I was going to say, you mentioned that you had an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted you to kind of speak a little bit about how is it having an agent and yet still you yourself having to do a lot to still make things happen.
Well, it's a very important point to tell people. You know, I'm always like, I'm not here to bust anyone's bubble, but I am, you know, I like to talk the truth, like, so people know what they're getting into. Just because I have an agent, I still have to constantly go outside and find work as well. Do you know what I mean? Because when I first got my agent, you know, maybe it was about 2 years ago, and I cleared myself from the salon schedule, and, you know, and I didn't get work for, like, maybe 2 months after that, and then it started to be, like, you know, credit work and free work and make the relationship with this photographer, so I was like, oh. And then, you know, when you do get paid, it's months later, so it's not like, I mean, it's, you know, I had a job on Saturday with my agent, but I have nothing lined up for the next 2 weeks, but they usually come at the last minute. So it's important for people to know, you have an agent, and that person is not your boss. That person works for you. You know, they're
right.
Going out to try to find you jobs so that they can get paid, you know, off a bunch of people that they get work for. But at the end of the day, they work for you. You work for them. It's a mutual thing, but you cannot just, you know, it takes a very long time to just sit around and then wait for the agent to call. You know, I would say maybe I'll have like 2 or 3 more years and then that steady work may be coming in, or, you know, you really have to build relationships when they send you out on one person. Like, if you build a relationship with someone that's working a lot, you know, like Nicki Minaj or Rihanna, then if they always want to use you, then you'll have kind of consistent work. So it's kind of, you know, it's business, I feel, always boils down to relationships. You connect with the people, you know, or you don't.
Right. Now, can you tell us a little bit about, you were saying that, you know, you would be either working on set or on location. Can you tell us a little bit about those types of jobs that you're doing on set or in location?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're really, really they're really fun because you get to see the behind-the-scenes things of, you know, commercials, music videos, you know, magazine covers, all of that. You get to see all of the work and everything that went into it to see the final product. And, you know, most of the time it's really, really amazing, you know, especially because they have really great catered food. So you show up, you don't have to worry about eating breakfast. They have breakfast there. They have snacks. You know, then they have, you know, lunch and dinner. But, and, you know, it's fun sometimes when you go in, you do something, you get to see it on the cover of things or commercials. And then sometimes it's, you know, just really, really grueling, long work, or there's no work. You know, for instance, Saturday I went on a job and I got there at 10:30. I had the nails done by 12. And I thought I was leaving, but they said hang around in case you want the polish change. And then I didn't leave till 9 p.m. And you would think people would be like, oh, well, you know, you're there for 9 hours, you can get other stuff done, but not really. You just kind of start to go stir crazy, and you're pacing. You've texted everyone you can. You can't look at Instagram anymore. I've read every magazine in there. I did some business emails. But then at that point, you just feel punished. You want to run around, and you know it was for an editorial shoot, so you can't. The money wasn't even great. The money was for those 2 hours, and I want to go home now. So, I definitely wouldn't complain about that, but it's something that people can't really understand unless they're. Unless they're in that, you know, that type of work. Then they're like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Right. Now, what are some of the basics that nail techs need to know to start a nail business, whether it be a nail salon or they start as a freelancer? And I'm not saying, you know, give people everything, because I think, you know, if this is something that you want to do, people should be able to do their own research and really, you know, get their hands dirty and learning the field that they're in. But what are some of the basics that you can tell a nail tech about starting their own nail business?
Well, I this is something that I do. I always take on apprentices, and I talk to them way more about the business side of things and the etiquette and how to treat people and to have a goal and a future of what they want before we even pick up a nail clipper. So this is something that I really enjoy doing, and I have a lot of people that I have one-on-one things with and, you know, kind of help build their business. But I think a couple of the important things are when you're these are the two things I think are important. When you're looking at your overview, if we're talking about a nail salon, or even if you're doing freelance and maybe it's not on set, it's freelance, if you want to have a mobile nail company and do parties and events or whatever. Whatever it is, it's like there's two things you have to have clear in your mind. One is, who is your client? Because everything you do should cater to that client. Now, it may take a little bit of time, you know, if you're like, well, I live in this area and I thought it was going to be this type, but it's this. But basically, you'll kind of know, you know, if you kind of write down on paper what is, we'll use a woman as an example, although it's like for the first 2 years of my career, I only had male clients, but a woman example, you'll say, you know, what does she drive? What kind of bag does she carry? Where does she work? Does she have children? Is she a professional woman? Does she like in and out quick stuff? Does she like more luxury? Like, why does she come and get a manicure? Then it's very easy. You don't have to be confused when you go to trade shows. Like, what should I buy? And how much should I spend on marketing? And what kind of towel should I get? And all of this. You kind of have to do everything for that client, the clientele that you're going to bring into your salon. So it could be quick in and out. It could be really luxurious things. You could do a lot of services for a little bit of money. You can do just a few services for a lot. But you shouldn't necessarily set up a salon for you yourself. I think a lot of people do that. They're like, well, this is what I would like. But it's like that's not the clientele that you're attracting because of the area you're in, where, you know, where your location is and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's really important to figure out who your client is. And then everything you do is for that client. You know, do you need paper napkins or do you need cloth napkins? Are you going to serve wine or you're not, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then the other thing is kind of having a niche. You know, I'm all about marketing. So my niche was Minx Nails, and that was, you know, a pretty powerful thing because not that many people were doing it at that time. But before that, it was reflexology pedicures. So I did really amazing reflexology pedicures. You know, in the middle of L.A. when people can't put down their BlackBerry, and, you know, they're always in a rush. I had people come in for, like, a one-hour pedicure, relaxed them, gave them reflexology, got their toenails painted, and they got wine. So that was kind of my niche. And you can have a niche, you know, whether you're the best at nail art or if you're not good at the technical side, your niche can still be, like, fresh-baked cookies coming out of the salon. Like, the smell of fresh-baked cookies, it's like those little details is what makes people really come back, because a lot of times with nail salons and stuff, people don't want to make an appointment. They just want to, like, rush in or rush out. So to have a place that people actually want to come back to and frequent, there has to be something in there that they're like, wow. Like, you want to really go above and beyond with whatever it is so they can tell everyone. Because word of mouth is the best advertisement. And that would, you know, go the same for if you wanted to do freelance on set. You know, if somebody says, oh, I like your lotion, I don't want to give away my $50 lotion, but if I feel that it's a, you know, you can feel it out. If you're like, oh, maybe I should give them my bottle of Chanel lotion, like, oh, you can have it. You know what I mean? And see if that builds a rapport. So I'm really big on service. I think customer service is really a lost art.
Right. Absolutely. Now, I've heard you mention Mink a few times, so can you talk, because you said a lot of celebs were coming in to your salon for the Minks, is that correct?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that and its popularity, and is it still really popular now?
You know, I think Minks still has its place a little bit here in the current trend, but I mean, gel polish has just exploded, and that's the big thing. Now, the way that you're seeing gel polish and these kind of stiletto pointed nails is kind of like what where Minx was at 3 or 4 years ago. And it had a good run for about 3 or 4 years. And and why it was so amazing is two parts. One is that it was so metallic. There was a lot of patterns and stuff, but there was this silver chrome and like a gold that nail polish just could not achieve, so people were going nuts for it. And the other thing is that there was no drying time. You know, you could just put it on, and there's no drying time at all. And that was before gel polish came out, so it was kind of like this really new alien thing that, you know, people just had to have. And that's kind of, you know, where it's at. Now what's going on with Minx is I customize a line, and there's some other choices out there that they'll kind of be a little bit transparent. So it will be clear with a little lines, you know, maybe like gold lace or gold leaves or something that you can then place on top of gel polish so that it's you can see the gel polish underneath. So that's kind of, you know, you could still do Minx over your gel polish, which is fun.
So just let me make sure I'm correct. Because you no longer have a salon, are you, how do you see clients now? Do you go to your clients? And this is, I'm not just speaking of celeb clients, I'm just any clients. Do you go to clients or are you working out of a space somewhere?
You know, I sold my salon like a year ago, and then I was renting a space on Sunset Boulevard, which was really fun. And then I had a chance to do something else on a reality show with Nail, so I got rid of that space. So for about the last 4 or 5 months, I've just been freelancing, meaning that I don't have a space to do work. I only have, maybe 3 or 4 clients that I go to their home and do, and I see them on a monthly basis. And the rest is just on-set work. We'll see how that goes. You know, I feel like I've always had overhead in my whole career. I've always paid rent somewhere and paid for things, you know, and I'm not doing that now. So I kind of feel a little rich, but we'll see if that goes on. You know what I mean? If that can sustain me or not.
Right. Were you at that? I forget what it's called, the salon space where people have their own individual spaces. I can't remember what it's
like
called.
Like a salon suite.
Yeah, it's called Salon Republic.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's called Salon Republic. Yeah, I had a little place up in there called Nailed on Sunset. And then I decided to give that up to do other things.
Right.
And what I thought was sad, just since you brought that up and so other people can hear it, is that I'm in Los Angeles, California. Like, this is the land of entrepreneurism, and I was very sad to find that I couldn't find one person to share the rent with me, you know, when I was deciding, should I keep this when I go do my 3-month reality show thing, or should I not? And a hairstylist responded all day long, hairstylist wanted to share this room with me, because it's really, really, since I came from owning a building and having to pay for the water and the electricity and the towels, that Salon Republic space is amazing. It's like one price mm-hmm. and it includes everything, and it's really a good rate. So to split the rent, I was maybe asking for something like $800 and no manicures. I mean, they were scared to pay rent. No one has and I felt that was very sad, and I was like, we really have to change this. There's just no reason for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Salon Republic is a nice space. It's a nice building, you know what I mean? And
it's very nice, and it attracts clients that have no problem paying,
right.
$65 for a mani-pedi, like no problem whatsoever. Like that's my hood, that's my area. That's where I've always owned a salon or done work, and it's like, it's not a joke. It's like the money isn't the issue. You just have to get out of your own way and like get out there and market, and it's quite simple. But I could see how it can make people scared. But I was kind of flabbergasted. I was like, what? I can't find one manicure to share this with me? That's sad.
Wow. And you didn't want you said you didn't want like a hairstylist or a makeup artist in there with you. You wanted to continue to have like another manicure.
I mean, at that particular time, I did, and
mm-hmm.
because the thing is, I wouldn't be at that space much. So anytime someone called me with all the marketing and stuff I do, I would just be able to give the stuff to that person. So for me, just to pay rent for myself and share it with the hairstylist wasn't really making sense at that time, because too many people wanted things and I wasn't there to do it for them. So I kind of needed another person to do stuff.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So I take it that you can't talk about what you're doing with the reality.
No, I can talk about it because it's just about to come out on TV. So now's the time to like not shut up about it.
Right.
Yes, that's what they tell. I like to promote and I'm a hype person when it comes to fun things, So
just tell us whatever you can about it.
I'll tell you everything because it's already out on TV. It's not a secret. It's called LA Hair with Kim Kimble, the hairstylist. It's her show.
Right.
It's already been on TV. It's already had one season. It's on WE TV. And this second season, they're bringing an A-list manicurist, which happens to be myself. And, and that's as much as I could say because, I don't know how I'm going to look or what's going to happen because, film for 1 week and they make that like a 1 hour episode, so I have no idea how they're going to edit it, what they're going to do. I do know that I did some great nail art on there. I did some arguing, some screaming, some crazy stuff, just regular reality TV stuff. But at the end of the day, I try to at least show the general public whatever antics and stuff I'm doing, but at least show the general public that there is more to what I feel they think a manicurist is. Just kind of like a discount shop that they're saying, pick the color as soon as you walk in and all that kind of stuff, that there's a little bit more of a business to it. And you can have a career, to show aspiring young girls that being a manicurist, is a career. I think, before Vidal Sassoon came along, I don't think that people really looked up to hairdressers. They were like, oh, you're a hairdresser. Okay, it's like you're a janitor. So Vidal Sassoon came and like blew it out of the water, like raised the rates, raised the bar, raised everything. And it's like, I feel that I myself am not going to claim that I could do that for the nail industry, but I feel with a community of people within the nail industry, and that's why we have Nail Talk Radio, we can kind of elevate it so that manicures are now looked at like, hairstyles. Hairstyles are rock stars now, but I believe before Vidal came along, it was like, okay, that's nice that you it's kind of like, oh, okay, you do that. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, one quick question about, I'm not going to get into any details about the show because I'm excited to see season two. I did watch and follow season one. But most people would say a manicurist is a manicurist. I mean, doing nails is doing nails no matter where you do it. But is there a difference in the atmosphere and with what goes on or how you deal with your clients when you are a manicurist in a nail salon versus a manicurist in a hair salon?
I worked at a hair salon, but it was only for about 2 weeks when I first got out of nail school. But
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that wouldn't necessarily be the difference. Like if you worked at a nail salon with all other manicures, or you worked at a hair salon with all hairstylists. I think what it boils down to, and it's definitely not a manicure is a manicure is a manicure. The thing is, I think that people haven't really ever had a true manicure until they go to someone that's really skilled, and it's hard to find someone that's really skilled. So at a majority of the nail salons that you can, you know, just walk in and walk out, you know, and it's $10 or $12, you are not getting a manicure at all, but people think they are. What you're getting is a glorified polish change. And this isn't me being on a soapbox. This is, like, the truth. So the polish, you know, people always say, oh, the polish chips quick, it does this, and it's because you're not getting a proper manicure. A proper manicure cleans all the dead skin off your nail plate to then polish over the plate. And so most of the time, you know, it is different. And the way I know that is that when I first started working right out of nail school, there was a girl, and, you know, she's my mentor, named Sheree, and she worked in West Hollywood, and it's kind of, you know, the ritzy kind of area of L.A., one of them. And she was kind of really, she was really, really sweet, but, you know, she didn't look the part, you know, her dressing wasn't up to par and all this kind of stuff. And I was, like, watching her, and she was always booked constantly, and people were driving far, like from Pasadena, all these places. No one wants to drive in L.A. It's like they were driving far to get their nails done by her, and it's because they said her polish lasted 10 days. So I learned early on that she said it's not about the bells and whistles. You don't have to buy the most expensive tools or the scrubs or all that. You just have to give a really, really great manicure. So I am, like, really amazing at giving a natural nail manicure, and every time I do it, because I've never been to any of the other places, but why I know is because every time I do a manicure on people always comment, oh, it's never look, you know, it's when I start to push back the skin for real, like the dead skin off the nail plate, so much comes off, and they think that there's something odd with them, but I'm like, no, this is what happens in a true manicure, and not a polish change, you know. So I would say that it's not, I think that's what I was trying to get at with the reality show, that people do think that until they get an actual one, because the general public doesn't know. There's just too many little small pockets. Or what happens is people put a lot of money into the aesthetics of a salon, put a tremendous amount of money so it looks great, you know, and it attracts these people, and it's like $50 for manicure, but their polish doesn't last any more than it did at that $10 place. So that's why the general public's like, oh, the manicure. So it's the training of the manicures that are coming up that has to really, you know, make a difference, because there's not a lot of people doing good services. That was the hardest thing when I had my salon. I'm consulting with people now that are opening their salons, and I'm like, you can put as much money. I don't care if everyone has their own personal iPad in here. Big deal. If the polish doesn't last, people are getting cut. Why am I paying extra money because you have an iPod and a chandelier? Do you know what I mean? Like, the training is crucial, and no one is training these people. So that's why I'm on a mission to train people. I love to train people.
So when does the new season of LA Hair start?
The new season starts on June 6th, Thursday night.
Okay.
I think it's 10 p.m. And then every Thursday after that, it'll be 9 p.m.
Okay.
Okay, so 10 p.m. the first week and then 9 p.m. after. Okay. Let me ask you. I have so many questions here, but I know we're going to eventually soon run out of time. But
I know. I would come back. I wish we had more time. I'm enjoying myself.
I know.
I'm usually asking the questions. I like answering.
No, exactly. I've been listening to some of your shows, and I'm listening to a lot of the things that you're saying and talking about training and informing the people, which is great. And that's what my sister and I are all about. It's just, you know, educating people and really telling them the truth about, you know, the business and what they need to know about the business. What do you feel is one of the biggest concerns of the nail care industry? Do you feel like there is one thing that manicures are concerned about or want to know about? And then let me flip it a little bit and say to you, what do you believe is one of the biggest things that manicures need to be concerned about?
I think manicurists, there's a number of things, but I would say the thing that they need to be the most concerned about is to mind their own business. Like your sister was talking about the makeup, mind your makeup business. I love that because all the time on our Facebook page for Nail Talk Radio, people calling in, the people that call me to, you know, well, I'm in Kansas and I can't have any business. Like people aren't going to pay $50 like they do in LA, that kind of stuff. And they're always so nervous about all the discount salons that are around them. And I say, it's very important in business to know your competition. You take a look, you go, okay, okay, and so you know what's going on. And then that's it. Because if you have a niche and something that sets you apart, you have to do that. You have to have your skills up and you also have to have the personal skills. You shouldn't worry about the, you know, the 50, because literally sometimes in LA there'll be 15 discount nail salons that are, you know, doing stuff, a $30 pedicure. How can you beat that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to. There's different types of clients. Some clients are like in and out. They don't care. They just want to do it for $30. Some other people want to relax more, you know, more like the professional women and stuff like that. So I would say the most thing they should be concerned about is their own business. I see a lot of people hanging around, reading magazines, you know, or complaining about the shops down there and they're not doing the best work and how come all the clients go there. It's like that's not going to help you at all. I've never been a fan of complaining and sitting around reading a magazine. I'm like, put on your best high heels and get out there and market yourself. You know what I mean? It's like really, really important. So that's what I would say is, you know, you have to focus on your own business and not so much on what you think. Because at the end of the day, I'm not mad at those discount salons. I'm not sitting there like, oh, they don't do the best work. It boils down to business. People are going there, so we have to figure out a way to show clients that there's other avenues. The general public, honestly and truly, has no idea. They have no clue there's other options. These salons came and bum rushed everywhere, and you think that's how you get nails done. That's it. Like there is no other option.
Wow. You're right. Get out there and market yourself.
Well, I mean, you cannot. You know, it's like, and there's all different ways. You know, I had an apprentice that was scared to death to talk, and I was always pushing her. But she got a lot of clients off Twitter and Facebook. You know, people would be coming in for All-Star Weekend or somewhere from out of town. They would see her work from Twitter. She'd get it that way. So now I know there's other avenues that I don't always have to make people do it the way that I would want to. You know, like, you know, once someone's in front of me, they're going to like me. I know that, like, as far as getting a manicure. But there's a lot of different avenues for marketing, and I'm really good at it, and I'm willing to help anyone. You know, I'm going to start to do one-on-one coaching and have these small classes where people can see other businesses growing at the same time. So there'll be small groups of like four people working on the different stages of their business, but we're all doing it together because, you know, artists have no clue. They just love the art part of it, but I love the business part of it. So I'm an artist and a business person, so I love to help artists know how to make money.
Right. Okay, I'm going to slip in two final questions, and one is I want you to tell our audience a little bit about your show, Nail Talk, and then I wanted to ask a question that we always ask all of our guests, and that is, what is beauty to you? So tell us about Nail Talk.
Can we sneak in also the deregulation question?
Oh, okay. Well, let's start with the deregulation question first.
Okay, and I will be quick. So the deregulation question, you know, let me tell you quickly. Nail Talk Radio is a weekly radio show, and it's all about nails, and it's all for professionals. And we have a segment on there called Politics Beauty, and someone goes around and talks about what's going on in each of the states. Some states are wanting to be deregulated, some of them, you know, all that kind of stuff. And my partner and I, Athena is my partner, we have very different views. And she has a view where most of the beauty professionals have that view, like, oh, they think it's going to be terrible if, you know, it gets deregulated. Me, I have a different opinion where I think I don't care. I feel like it's either way, whether it gets deregulated or not, because no one is learning anything in school anyway. Let's all be real serious and real honest. Not one person that has gone to beauty school has learned a thing but how to pass a state board test. Anything that you've learned in school, are you doing it right now? No. I'm not wrapping cotton around an hardwood stick and pushing back cuticles that way. They're still, you know, showing people how to do perms for white people in school. Who's getting perms anymore? Do you know what I mean? So I feel you don't learn anything in school anyway. And you have to save your money for all these advanced education classes afterwards. That's why I started an advanced education academy. So I feel if there was deregulation and there was none of that, then these big companies, you know, in Nail Talk Radio could have their own academy, C&D, that the owner of Shellac, OPI, all of these places would have their nail training academy. Then it would become more of a thing like, you know, if you're a lawyer, people always ask you, what school do you go to? If you say some community college, they're like, If you say, I don't know what the biggest law school is, but something like Harvard, then they're like, oh. So I really feel that it could be a plus side because the education in America as opposed to Europe for, you know, nail techs and hairstyles and all that is completely off. We have, there's a lot of unskilled people doing a bunch of crazy stuff. So to me, I'm fine with it being deregulated. I'll have a banging academy with everyone at it.
We'll definitely have to get you back on to talk a little bit more about the academy and, you know,
okay,
and your teaching and your classes. But let us know what beauty is to you.
I would say beauty to me is stability, you know, and with that comes confidence. So everyone says beauty comes from within and it's confidence, but it's very true. When someone is stable, I think it's very, very, it just exudes beauty and you want to be around that person because, you know, we've come to a place in the society where we're kind of, you know, really love messiness. You know, we love reality shows. I'm on a reality show. We love, you know, the messiness of, you know, Lindsay Lohan's and shows. It's like we're kind of idolizing that kind of messiness, and I don't think that's beautiful at all. It's tragic. So I would say, you know, stability and confidence, and I learned that from, you know, when I used to be going to the club all the time. I'm really short, really extra thick, and I wear, you know, high top sneakers, and, you know, the girls at the clubs are wearing nothing. Like, I mean nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
small dresses and real heels. Like, it's like, and that's cool, but I would always see that the guys would look at them, you know, but then when it came to dancing time, there's just something that I'm exuding when I'm dancing, so people are there. The guys would always look at me over the half-dressed girl, so I was like, wow, and I wasn't dancing, you know, extra sexual, doing all kind of whatever. It was just like, there's something, if you feel stable in yourself, it's very beautiful.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Naja. I know you have to go. Good luck with your show tonight. I will be tuning in. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll definitely be in touch with you.
Okay. Thank you so very much, and make sure you send me the link so I can let everyone know to listen to it. But it was a fun time. Thank you, ladies, for having me.
I sure will. All right. Have a good night.
Thank you, too.
Good night. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to tonight's show. We really appreciate it. If you like tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite. We cut the show a little short tonight because Naja is getting ready to start her show right here on Blog Talk Radio. So if you have time, go over and listen to her show as well. It's Nail Talk Radio. It's a great show. She is a co-host on that show. Make a comment on our Facebook page as to how you liked tonight's show, or if you have any suggestions for future shows, please let us know. And we will post next week's guest out there on the show as well. So
I also wanted to give those dates for the Makeup Show Chicago, Sunday, June 9th. And Monday, June 10th, the show on June 9th will be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and the show on Monday, June 10th will be from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The venue is the Bridgeport Art Center. That's 1200 West 35th Street in Chicago. There's a free parking lot based on availability. And, again, for more information on that, you can go to themakeupshow.com. And I also wanted to add, for those of you who are interested in attending Fame Expo on June 29th and 30th, please email us at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com, or you can leave us a message on our Beauty Talk online radio page on Facebook. And if you're interested in going, we can provide you with a one-day free pass. Just give us your name and email address, and we will take care of getting that for you. And also, if you have photos of your makeup work, of, anything creative that you've done, makeup-wise, hair or nails or anything like that, or just, you know, we'll even add photography. Even if if there was just a beautiful picture that you took and you want to, and it's beautiful to you, then please post that on our Beauty Talk online radio page on Facebook. Post that on that page. And if you have any information about classes, events, any beauty-related events, not just, you know, any type of event, party or anything like that, but if it's a beauty-related event or a beauty-type class, hair, nails, makeup, then you can please post that on that Beauty Talk page. And please don't post it on the Illusions Cosmetics page. That's totally for Illusions Cosmetics. So just post all of your beauty-related events and posts and updates and comments on the Beauty Talk page. And again, please go ahead and post your anything you would like to share that's beauty-related. Again, any type of photography or hair, nail, makeup photos that you would like to post, please post that on that Beauty Talk page.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and join us again next week. Tell a friend about Beauty Talk, and we'll meet you right back here next week at the same time, 9 p.m. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.